Welcome to Around the Bases, the pop culture and sports podcast with your host,
Tim Sternberg,
and Charlie Seymour.
Hey, Charlie. What's
How
up,
you
buddy?
Doing tonight?
Nice job on the intro. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's usually a Tim thing, and it seems like that's the way to stick to it, right?
we're trying to mix things up a little. It's our show,
yeah,
right?
Just keep them on their toes.
100%, and I love that. You know, they're listening. They hear Nick Testa's theme song going, and all of a sudden they hear Charlie Seymour doing with the intro. I love that. I love that.
A little curveball.
I love that. How's your week been, buddy?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Living the dream. It's awesome. It's been an awesome week for a pop culture and sports. I can't complain. I have nothing to complain about, actually.
Your spirits are a little better than the last time we talked about sports.
I wonder why.
I wonder why that could be.
Maybe the Mets?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time we talked about it, the Mets were 0-5.
Oh, no.
The world was
go.
On fire.
Oh.
Tim was ready to jump off of a
Here
of
we
a bridge.
There we go.
And who was it that said, patience, young grasshopper, patience?
Because
at the time
Obi-Wan.
Of taping, at the time of this taping right now, since we filmed that episode, the Mets are 10-3.
I know. I shut up.
So,
God, dude.
Yeah.
I don't. What happened?
More than
fire
five
under
games
their ass.
Happened. That's what happened.
I know. But listen, we won a series against the Braves. Yes. Sorry, Braves fans, but I was freaking excited for that.
And one of those games, I mean, you put it to them.
We killed them. I mean, it's double digits.
I saw something that the Mets and Braves have played, you know, like a thousand times, whatever number, how many times they've played. It was tied for the fourth most runs the Mets have ever scored in a game against the Braves, 16.
Oh, man. How awesome. And yes, listen, Ali Crow, you were right. I will admit it 100%.
Wait, what? Repeat that? That actually sounded kind
of
nice.
No, you're going to do that? Really?
Oh, okay.
All right, fine, Charlie. Ali Crow, did that sound better even the second time?
No, I like the you were right part. That's
all right. Okay. It seems like a familiar theme with us, Charlie, but I'll say it again. You were right. For the audience, you know, listening. So I got that. Charlie is definitely the more optimistic of the two of us, I would say, without a doubt.
And let's maybe say realistic. It was five games out of 162, Tim.
Come on.
It was five
games. All right, Charlie. How the Cubs doing?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
They won another road series. Can't complain other than they've lost. They're doing this without some key pieces.
Suzuki,
Steele,
injured.
Tyone, Merriweather, one of their better relievers. And they're playing well. And now they've got to come back home.
I'm pulling for your Cubs.
Yeah, they're can't really complain. They're 4-over and they've played 2/3 of their games on the road already. And it's not like all of them are pretty much playoff caliber teams. They've played at Texas, at the Mariners, at the Padres, and at the Diamondbacks, who were in the World Series. So
it's happening. I had to do that. It's happening.
You're Ian Happ. Great. You love him. I know he had
a big
night yesterday,
Ian
and
Happ.
He had a grand slam last night.
Amazing. The dude is just, he's stellar. I mean, he's one of those, you know what I like about Ian Happ? He's one of those, not, you know, he's not the one that you're going to buy the rookie card for millions of dollars. You know, he's not the Flash, you know, he's not Mike Trout, but for who he is, stellar. He is awesome. Great with the fans, as you, I'm sure, can relay how he treats the fan base. He has a pretty good coffee, from what I understand, with his Connect Roasters. So yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, and he's got a podcast too.
He does.
With now a New York Metropolitan. How about that?
I love it. So yeah, how about that? A Cub and a Met. Are they kind of looking at our podcast? What's happening here? Ian Happ, you need to come on this podcast. I'm saying it right now. So, you know, come on. We welcome you as a guest here on Around the Bases. Maybe on an off day that the Cubs have. But yeah, I'm excited. The Mets and the Cubs are rocking it. And you're right. And we didn't have JD Martinez come up yet.
And he's still not there. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So when that happens, wow.
And the pitching is held up. Like someone said, maybe it would be a little better than you thought it was. Severino's been pretty solid. Quintana's been pretty solid.
I'm happy for the Mets, but man, I hate eating crow.
They're gonna be a wild card contender. They have too many good pieces not to.
But listen, it's only been 15. I'll throw your words back. No,
but you're right. It's been 18. It's been 18.
Well, and you are the numbers guy again, so I will go with that. But yeah, so yes, to our audience, we will be talking about other stuff other than sports, but I just had to get that out of my system that I was excited for the Mets by a million times. I'm really excited. So yeah, and go Cubbies, go.
Yeah, raising that white flag. But really quickly before we jump away from baseball. Also, I don't know if you've been following along, but it's the trend has been pretty consistent. If Davis Schneider is in the lineup, the Blue Jays have a much better chance to win.
Why not just keep David Schneider?
I don't get it. It's like we're beating a dead horse here, but maybe by the time next time he'll be in there every day still. But
you know, it's funny. Baseball is a very interesting sport when it comes to that, right? And I say that because the Mets had arguably one of the worst DHs last year. You know who I'm talking about.
Vogie?
Daniel Vogelbach. And they put him in. They knew that he was not going to do well. I mean, almost guaranteed when Vogelbach was in the lineup, at least with the Mets. I'm not saying anything about this year, but at least with the Mets, when Vogelbach is in the lineup, he was not going to perform. Here is a guy on the Blue Jays, Davis Schneider, who is consistent, performs well. The team does well when he's in the lineup, and they don't put him in regularly.
There's something to be said about the glue guys. You know what I mean?
100%.
Good presence, good clubhouse presence. And
that's why utility is so important. You need to have that. You need to have – that's why they say depth. Right. That's the part of that depth is to have the guys that listen, you can't play your Juan Soto's or your, you know, I know he's a Yankee, but you know, your Juan Soto's, your Vladdy Juniors, they can't play every day or, you know, comparable positions that you need to have those glue guys. But at the same time, if the glue guy is performing well, you need to take a hard look at that. The superstar doesn't have to be in the lineup if the glue guy is doing better than the superstar.
Yeah, you know, and with the DH, you know, you can get the guy a day off his feet and someone else can go in the field. That's why
exactly.
He's like a Ben Zobrist. He's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Put him at second, put him in left, put him in
right. Yeah, Zobrist was very, very famous for that as well. There's been a number of players throughout the history of the MLB that have done that. Speaking of MLB and rookies and people that are making debuts, Jack Leiter for the Texas Rangers is making his debut. It's the year of some really good rookies. Look at Gunnar. I'll be okay. Orioles.
Jackson Holliday.
Thank you. I wanted to say Gunnar Henderson. I knew that was wrong. Jackson Holliday and what Jackson's doing.
You had Gunnar on your mind because he's been red hot. That's
yes,
why.
He has. But look, Jackson Holliday, son of an MLB-er. Jack Leiter, son of Al Leiter, who
met
Marlins legend Al Leiter. He was on both the Mets and the Marlins, and it was a great pitcher. And you know, many people don't know Mike Piazza, also a Met and a Marlin legend. He was on the Marlins for I think a week from the Dodgers,
3 days or
3 days. Yeah,
yeah, that was
but
wild.
Still,
I remember that.
Still a Matt and a Marlin. Al Leiter is like one of the most fantastic pitchers I've ever seen in a Met uniform. And that's high praise considering Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver.
I like
Doc
him
Gooden,
as a commentator too.
Great commentator. I'm happy for his son. We'll see what he does. I mean, number one draft pick for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, he's pitching tomorrow or the day after, right?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that next week for sure. But I'm excited. Baseball's exciting. It's baseball season. Baseball's
so much
in the
young
air.
Talent.
Love it. I just love it. You know, I'm missing it. I see pictures of people at the Marlins Park, and I miss going there. It's just there's something
about. Have you been to a game yet this year? Mm-mm. Not yet. No. Okay.
I will for sure in a park called Wrigley in June.
I gotta get to one before.
I know. Get it. When do the Cubs come down to Miami? Maybe I'll go to the Cubs in Miami and report live. But yeah, I'm excited. I love baseball. We'll see what happens. Speaking of loving things and liking things, what did you think this week? I have to think of better segues, but that's okay. What did you think of this week's episode of Deal or No Deal Island?
Oh, see, your segue was because Miami, it's so beautiful, island weather.
Oh,
there's your segue.
It's like an island off of Panama where Deal or No Deal was played.
okay, wow, lots of thoughts on this Deal or No Deal. You know what it reminded me of was, did you, I don't know if we've talked about this, but do you ever watch The Trust on Netflix?
Yes.
So this challenge reminded me of the one where they had to blow out the candles, except it wasn't anonymous. So, without giving away too much, basically, they had to give a negative, what would you call it? A disadvantage, let's say.
They had to throw
one person.
Well, they had to put
each
something.
Each person
in
got to do it one time, right? So yeah. It just so happened that everybody got one, except one person got two and someone got zero. I won't spoil it, but someone got a nice head start. So that's your first bit of it. But the challenge itself was kind of interesting.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think I would have died if I was out there. That's tough. That was not an easy challenge at all. I mean, they were going through terrain and I think, you know, my strategy would have been if I was in that challenge, I would have just picked a random suitcase and walked it back and hoped that it was one that was a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, Rob gambled. He realized
he
was
did
gonna,
that.
He, it's exactly what he did. He knew that was it Dawson or no, it was Nick. He knew Nick was going to beat him down the line. And it was a smart pivot at that moment. He just needed to be in the top four for immunity, which is what he did.
And there were players that didn't get their case.
You can tell. He just knows what he's doing. He does.
And if they don't get him out soon,
it's almost too late.
He's almost. And I don't know. So the casting for season two, which is underway right now, I just saw a TikTok or something where they have over 500,000 applications for this next season.
Well, I mean, you can see why. I mean,
I do.
The prize pot's over. Well, it's over 4 million already, and they still have another 6 to 8 weeks to go.
Kind of like, you know,
the cases
Squid
are
games.
Going up. Yeah,
Squid Games. I think they're going to be more than Squid Games, which is crazy.
So that brings us to another great point. Okay, so to not to jump too far ahead in the episode, but basically, without spoiling it, a contestant's up there for a big number, right? Now, to your point,
well, we can spoil it. I mean, it's better already.
The number's getting big. It's over 4 million. Okay.
Yeah. There's a pattern I noticed.
If you were the player, was that a big enough personal offer to take to go home?
100%. Absolutely, I would have taken it.
Yes. Even
without a doubt,
how big the number's growing to.
Without a doubt, bro. You know why? Because you still only have a 1 in 6 chance. And I believe even if you get to the final, from what I'm understanding about the game, that's not guaranteed.
You still have to win that play. Game. Right.
Right. So you're going to get some kind of offer during that game. Most likely, I'm going to predict that whoever goes to that final game is going to take an offer if it's high enough. And if the cases are crazy.
And you could see, that's where I'm thinking, where that offer that you're talking about, got to be significantly higher than what he just said yes to, right?
Yeah, I think so. Here's what I've noticed a pattern. So this is the second time we've had a personal offer in the game, in the Deal or No Deal game.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed a pattern. It's when there are multi-million dollar cases in the game that are kind of left, and it's very lopsided production. I mean, with good reason, you don't want to give away the whole farm. NBC will have a heart attack. So they're offering a personal offer. And with the way it looked, I said to my mom, watches the show too. I said to my mom, it's a no brainer. I mean, I would take that money in an instant. I mean,
see, here's the only thing I'll play devil's advocate for. A second.
Yeah, go for it.
He himself was exuding confidence, right? And he said he felt the whole time that 2.75 was in his case.
Right.
What was in his case at the end?
That's 2.7.
The one the
case he got. And so, this is this is Dawson.
And he had a 67, and the odds were in his favor.
Yeah.
So if he says no, wins, not only is he up to a 1 in 6 chance, like you said, but that 4 million number is now almost 6 million.
But here's the rip with this. You're guaranteed at that point in time the personal offer. Let's say you move through the game, you go, you play, you don't get to the final round and you don't get another personal offer. It's a risk. So basically you may just be leaving with the stipend of whatever it is they give you a week.
True.
And
what if at the same time he was about ready to take the deal, but like you said, production, the banker, they know they don't want him to do it. So what if there's another one of those? Wait a minute, the phone rings again.
It could have been
upped it to 150.
100%. And you know, if you watch the old version of Deal or No Deal, the one that was in the studio with Howie, they did that. That happened. You know, where the banker would actually call back and say, hey, wait.
And they hinted at that this time because he did call him back a second time.
Yeah. I think personally
that's the number. What would you say is the floor?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I would have taken the 40 grand a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. But that was 10 people left. So I think that was the right play there. There were so many more people.
You're the numbers guy, without a doubt.
Now that it's down to six, it's pretty close.
100 grand is life changing for me. Like I could do so much. I think it's a personal preference too. I think you get to the point where
how much of that 100 do you take after taxes? Like 60,
yeah, around 60 grand. I mean, that for me, when I'm an advocate for kids and I don't really make a lot of money doing that, and I'm selling stuff on eBay for income. I mean, that would be a nice little put away. I mean,
absolutely, and
I'm 52 years old, so you know, I'd like to do some things and have some fun. And I don't know, I think, and again, it could be a different choice for you or for depending on anybody's circumstance. I understand that for me. In that moment, if I was Dawson, I would have done exactly what he did. I don't feel like I'm giving up the game. I feel like
what if the personal offer was just say a slight increase of the one before? You're still saying yes. What if it was like 40 again?
No. No, I think you're right. 100's
about the floor
for that at that point in the game. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I think. It had it been the 40 grand again with 1 in 6, the way it was looking, no. And there's a difference too. We didn't talk about this yet in the two offers. This offer was like, okay, you're leaving the game 100%. The previous offer is you're still going forward.
She could have tried to right exactly,
and she could have got a better case and ended up winning the 40 grand and staying in the game.
The odds were against it, but it was still odds. Yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of, you know, my criticism of the show, and hopefully production looks at this for next season. It's a lopsided. It's basically a numbers game. The amount of the money that's up there, to me, if I'm playing the banker, is insignificant. What is significant is where that offer is in line with the other cases that are there. If you're going to make me an offer that's four cases below and one above the lowest, I'm not taking that offer. That's not a numbers nightmare.
Unless they give you the 100.
Unless you give me a personal offer.
Which is what they do. They forced it. Because that offer, if you think about it, is pretty low. No, like they added that it was like 1.349 or 1.399.
I think it's a malfunction of the game.
It was a nice ad, but if you think about it logically, there were two of the cases were twice that.
Yeah. I think it's a flaw. I think the offer should be more in line with in the middle of the road of where the cases left are. And that's not the way it is. And most of the time I've seen this season, the offers, with the exception of a couple of people, and you know, I wonder why, but the offers have been pretty much lopsided down the fray, you know, down towards, you know, so you'll have four higher and it's two lower.
I wonder if in their extensive background work and check of all the people, they know
financial circumstances.
They know exactly about the area for each person. And that's why they make the offer lower, because they know they're just going to personal offer him in the area that it'd be too much for him to say no.
No doubt. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that plays into it. You and I have both been on a game show. We know. We know how that works. Not saying that our show did that. Our show, we weren't in a position. But if we were on a reality show, yeah, I mean, they're going to do their work. You know, look at Big Brother. Big Brother, head of household, basket, has all their favorite stuff. They do their homework. They know what entices people to go for things. And, you know, yeah, for me, I would have taken $100,000. I wasn't, listen, I had Dawson pegged to win the whole thing. So the last couple episodes, I didn't have him pegged anymore. I felt like he was exposing himself too much with the whatever the night owl thing they did was so stupid. I'm sorry. Like, what is that? Yeah, I there was a couple of players that I wish would go.
It would have been funny if maybe they can add this in a future episode. But in the last one, if they would have had a little counter in the screen, number of times Night Owl is set, because that would have been ding,
the number
ding,
of times
ding.
They hoot.
Yeah.
Like, Dawson, stop. It's not cool. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting how the show has so many applicants, and it's not a ratings blockbuster by any means. I mean, NBC renewed it. And again, this goes back to why I believe that We Are Family will get renewed, is because it's cheaper to make. It's really not that expensive. Joe is probably not an expensive host.
Right now, I mean, what if it get that pockets to 10, 12 million and the guy wins it at the end? You never know.
I don't think that person is, unless you go all the way, I don't think whoever it is going to win the entire amount. I think they're going to get a good offer. I think the
it's
prize
gonna
is definitely going
to
be. Yeah, I think the end prize is certainly going to be more than two. I think it's going to be over $2 million, I think, what the person who wins gets at the end.
It's interesting because of how they're each, the later it's getting in the season, the amounts are slowly rising in the cases. So let's say it gets down to the last three. I mean, they're pulling 10, 12, 15, like, who knows how big they're going to be pulling, which means those offers for those episodes are going to add a few million each too. So
this is true. I'm interested to see how it goes. The drama, I love the drama. So, you know, between Aaron and Amy and that back and forth that happened, and I'm like, oh, it's perfect. I mean, the casting was beautiful. I think the casting was good on the show. I think the personalities are great. I think the mix is good. I think the game structure needs some work, like I said, with the way the Deal No Deal is played. I don't think they necessarily have to have the full-on meet the banker at the end. I think they could play the game throughout the game, the actual game in the game. There's a whole bunch of things that they could do with that. But it definitely needs to be reworked to make it a little less predictable, I'll say, because it is pretty predictable what's going to happen. And that's the thing about Survivor, which I have not watched yet, so I'm sorry about that. But Survivor,
you're in for a treat.
It's a lot less predictable. You know, I mean, we're taping this on Wednesday night. Charlie watched the episode. I haven't watched the episode yet, but I love that about Survivor. Things you said, something happens in Tribal tonight that hasn't happened before. I love that because I'm always hearing that. You know, this didn't happen before that. And that's what's great about Survivor. It takes away that little predictability of oh, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And I think sometimes you can overstructure a show, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
So I like that about it. And Big Brother, same thing. Big Brother can be unpredictable too. Although in last couple of seasons, it got a little bit of structured. And I hope, you know, in the last season was a little silly with the whole time travel, whatever, you whole multiverse thing. But hopefully they go back to, you know, doing things different. I think going down and, you know, going to the scratch pad and maybe reworking and re-ideas and re-energizing things. It doesn't always have to be the same thing. There can be things that are similar for the fans, like had a household in Veto. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes shows need a little burst of change, and Survivor has done that very successfully. Survivor without alterating their main format of what the show is, has pretty much, you know,
like when they added Exile Island.
Right. Or when they shorten the amount of time that the audience, what do we care if it's 29 days? It's still the same number of episodes. You know, it's just faster pace. I like the faster pace because it keeps the contestants on their toes and there's not a lot of lull time. And lull time is a little dull TV, in my opinion, unless you're in season one where Richard Hatch is running around naked. You know, it's, and speaking of Richard Hatch, House of Villains. Ooh, season two. I can't wait for that. That's gonna be good.
Without, it's not a spoiler, but you remember in the end of Last Survivor, they showed the preview and Hunter was way up in the tree, right?
Yeah.
Well, the context of that was, I don't know if I've seen this before either, but can you ever remember in a reality show like this where they play a game within the game? And what I mean, and not, and what I mean by that is not like the challenges provided by the show. Well, in the episode you're in a treat for, they literally, as a tribe of 10 people, played a big game of hide and seek.
I love that.
It was
I love that.
so it was really funny.
Big Brother does stuff like that. Like they have shows and games within the, weeks because it gets kind of boring. But I love that about those shows. Amazing Race can't do that because it's moving too fast. But yeah, I love that. I think that's kind of what Deal or No Deal is missing, that character. And I know it's the first season, so hopefully they'll find that in season two. And I hope they cast it as well as they did the first season. It was fun. It's been fun. I enjoy it, even though it's not very popular apparently, but I love it. I finally saw on Apple TV the movie that you recommended.
You mean the movie about your likeness?
Yes, the movie
For
Argyle.
those
In case
unaware, Tim wore an Argyle sweater on We Are Family.
for every
And it
single
even got
episode.
pointed out by random people on Twitter, Argyle sweater, Argyle sweater. And then fast forward a couple months later, a movie called Argyle.
So it was Tim a spy? I don't know. But
Could be.
the movie was fantastic. So good.
And it's
So
it is
good.
now available on Apple TV.
It is. Thank you very much, by the way. Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it a lot. It's kind of long, but it was fun. I
Yeah,
loved it.
I actually rewatched it once it was on too,
I
a few
know you
days
told me
after.
that. Love that.
Yeah, I like those kind of fun spy movies. And this one definitely had a lot of twists and turns that you're not expecting, so
Yeah.
I'd recommend it.
So I saw the couple of weeks ago, I saw the new Ghostbusters movie with Erica. Loved it. It was so much fun. Just fun popcorn. You know what you want? It's hard during this time of year to get those summer popcorn movies that you crave in the summertime because it's still April and May, March, April. But Ghostbusters is one of those summer popcorn movies that they released in March, April, which I loved. It was so much fun. It was
That's
nice to
on
see
our
the
list.
original. It's
We're
on your
gonna see that
list.
soon. Yeah, we actually also went to the movies recently,
Oh,
and
what'd you see?
we were gonna see Ghostbusters, but the timing didn't work out well, because we went on a Sunday night and we didn't want to go too late in the evening. So we actually saw the new A24 movie. Shout out to my seat number. But we saw Civil War, and we saw it in Dolby, which that was quite the experience. So loud.
Oh man, that's not Rosie's type of movie necessarily,
No,
right?
but she was up for it. She was up
I
for it.
love it. Erica
Yeah.
didn't want to see it. I wanted to see Civil War, so I'll have to wait until it streams. How was it? Intense?
It was intense. It was.
Yeah.
There were, a couple parts that we maybe necessarily didn't agree with how it went or how it went, but it's interesting.
It's a what if story, right? What if this
Yes,
happened?
and it kind of makes some allusions to basically what if a president took a third term, just kept
Oh,
power. So
so it takes
it doesn't specifically say anything, but it kind of broadly hints at that.
So this takes off from where the people went on the Capitol. Is that kind of the idea of
I believe so,
January
yeah.
6th and that
And
whole,
then a couple
we try
different,
not to get too political on here, but it's
yeah.
talking about this movie and
Yeah, no, it's just a
wow.
movie.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just a movie. Interesting concept. I definitely want to see that. Interesting.
Kirsten Dunst is in it.
Love her.
It's the general story is about this group of reporters who are trying to get as close to DC, where this is happening as possible. And it's their journey while this is going on. She's a member of the press.
So they become almost like the heroes of the movie.
Yes, they're the focal they're the main characters, I'd say.
Very interesting. I think there's a dichotomy there with using the press to have that, because, you know, there has been debate about, you know, press and the validity of the press. And I think that's a good dichotomy for a movie to have, is to have the press be basically the lead characters of the film. Usually in movies, you see them as kind of the secondary, right?
Yeah.
So interesting. All right.
Yeah. So then, it's fun to go to the movies, you know? I think we'll probably do Ghostbusters next.
I have to see what's coming out this weekend. I'm hoping something that Erica would like to see, because I miss going to the movies.
Yeah, it's fun to go, you know? It's fun.
She doesn't like horror movies. She doesn't like a lot of violence and gore. And so I have to kind of find either rom-coms or comedies.
It's easy to flip to Apple or Paramount and stream a movie, which you can still
do.
It's
not the same.
But it's still also fun to go to the movies.
Absolutely. To have that big bucket of popcorn next to you and have the dark theater.
Speaking of big, here's another pop culture and big bucket of popcorn transition. Have you seen the previews for the new Deadpool popcorns that are, oh, they're so good.
No, what?
Okay,
what,
so you know the big thing was the Dune bucket, and then Ghostbusters
that was
is having
weird.
One now.
That Dune,
and
yeah, they it's Cinemark
now,
has a Slimer.
Now the new Deadpool, which is, I believe, this summer, they have a new popcorn bucket, and it's like the Deadpool head and the Wolverine head, and like the popcorn's coming. It's
it
great.
Coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, it looks so good. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I
maybe
have to see that.
Attach it into the episode or something, so people can see it. But
all right, here it is, folks. Yeah, so I can't wait for that popcorn bucket. That should be very interesting. I like the way it looks. That looks good. We'll have to check it out. It's anything to get us in to buy popcorn in a larger size or to spend more money than we would normally spend. Although
it's a collector's item.
It is. I didn't get the Slimer bucket at Cinemark because I...
Did they have them?
It's not... Yeah, they did, but it's not refillable. And I like the big refillable bucket.
Wait, what do you mean?
Those.
You don't get a free refill with it?
I don't think so. No, I think it's just a Slimer. It's smaller size too. It's not as big as the... I'm a bit cheapo, but I think it was like $20 or something like that for the Slimer bucket.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, but yeah,
I'll check, though.
Research.
Knowing you, big eBay guy, you should have got two, and then one might pay for the second.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I should have done that. You're 100% right. But yeah, speaking of awesomeness, as these buckets are. But he's so much awesome. Thank you very much from both of us to Nick Testa for joining us last week on Around the Bases. I got such great feedback from that episode. People loved hearing Nick's stories. And Nick, thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much.
Yeah, very much. It was so much fun. And hopefully in the future you come back on and we talk more. And I'm hoping to get to Ohio for your concerts. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait. So,
yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
And thank you for the theme song. Apparently, one of our viewers told me yesterday in a text, I can't get your theme song out of my head. And I said, that's because of the brilliant Nick Testa. Do, 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 do. You know. So, yeah, thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. And speaking of pop culture awesomeness, also, we have an unboxing. That's right. It's been a couple of weeks, but Charlie, the great Charlie, has one of his awesome collectibles, and he's going to unbox it for us.
And I'll keep, for your sake, for the guessing part of it, we kept it baseball. So.
Oh, you're so nice. You're nice to me. I appreciate that.
Now, this one here is, this team has been said before. So it's a repeat team. So that could help you a little bit.
Okay.
It's one
Have
of the young
ideas.
It's also one of the younger stars.
Boba Bichette.
It is not Boba Bichette. It is an American League player. You're already in the right league and you're already in the right division.
Okay.
This was a very, very high draft pick. And we may have talked about one of his teammates already today. Actually, two of his teammates. You probably know it now.
Oh, is it Adley Rushman?
Wow. That was maybe your best
job. Oh, we narrowed it down to Rush.
You got that very fast. There it is.
Oh, I love that big head. Look at that.
Look at that. You can love Adley. For those at home, he is.
And he did not tell me.
Holding
I did
his
not
catcher's
cheat.
Gear. I not, oh, absolutely. The integrity
never tells me.
Will never be ruined. You will never tell you.
That's
that
amazing.
Was, that was great.
That actually went too fast.
That did go too fast. But look at the detail on it. You can, and his catcher's mask and his glove.
That's such great work. Man, I love that big head. The only thing about big heads is it takes up a lot of room.
You're right. You're not wrong about that.
But
the
nice
thing though with the bases is sometimes you can kind of semi stack them so they're like kind of front and back, if that makes sense.
I love that. Yeah. Boom!
You
I'm
did
getting
great.
Good at this.
I'm proud.
B, I win the game
you
show prize.
You crushed
I found
it
out who's
one.
Behind the super sphere.
Yeah, no, you did better than that. You got that. If that was star player round, you probably locked that in at 75-50, right around there.
I mean, your hints helped. I mean, you said we talked about a couple of their players. We talked about Gunnar Henderson, of course, and we talked about
Jackson Holiday,
who again, and I was like, I went right to, you said the same division, so Orioles are in American League East, like the Blue Jays and the Yankees and the Red Sox, and I was like, boop, boop, boop. And that's my thought process. Boop,
that
boop,
was
boop, boop.
that was well done.
It's
that was
like
very
short
well
circuit
done.
Boop, 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 boop.
That was impressive.
Thank you, buddy. That's a beautiful, thank you for sharing your collection. You know, one day we're going to have to turn the tables and I'm going to have to do one for you to guess. I think that'll be fun to do.
I'd love it.
I love
it.
Yeah. So next week I will have something that you will have to guess what it is.
Let's
do you
it.
Know who
let's
that is?
It.
Oh, wait, it's Willie Mays.
Hey, I think you probably
wait.
it one
Say
person
hey.
That it won't be, but you knocked it down.
Willie
You
Mays.
knocked it down one person for
Oh,
me.
Look,
so.
wait. Oh, wait, there's a weight bench. You see that? For our viewers, I'm pointing out a picture of Willie Mays autograph. And I'm not.
And then over your
my...
other shoulder, I see Anthony Anderson.
There is Anthony Anderson. We are family. Well, and then we have Casey Stengel behind my neck. And the Rugrats, apparently. It's a mix. It's a hodgepodge. Someone asked me today, what do you collect? And I'm like, well, it's kind of everything.
It'd be easier to tell you what you don't collect.
I have a You Got Mail, Midsummer Night's Dream poster, a You Got Mail poster. I got a Simpsons cell up there, an actual cell
Whoa, let me see that.
I never showed you that.
No, I don't think so.
From Treehouse of Horrors.
Wow.
See it up there behind my head?
For the
and
viewers,
that's George
I think
Jetson
I see Homer.
Above.
I see Homer, Bart, and Lisa. Is that right?
That is correct. It's from an episode of Treehouse, you know, the Halloween episode they do. And
yeah,
that is George Jetson next to them. The cell of George Jetson. So, yeah. And then we got the Scooby-Doo gang on the wall behind me. Mickey Mouse and a bunch of envelopes that I use to ship shit. There it is.
And a Mets hat.
Of course, you have to have the Mets hat.
How have they done since the last time we talked about?
10-3.
Oh, 10-3. That's right. 10-3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone was right. I don't know.
We already did.
Oh, wait. Well, yeah, we did. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know. And yeah, I think I said you were.
Wow.
I think I said
how
you were right.
The
tables
have turned. We were going on asking people what would happen if the Mets were still winless the next time we talked about it, and the Mets have won 10 times, not
That's
nine
why.
times.
That's
nine
why.
Times, not you, nine times.
You were
times.
Gonna make me do something, and that's why the Mets. See.
So you're welcome. I guess you're welcome.
Thank you. Oh man! All right, you're right. At least we didn't bet money. This is why this dude always does well. Well, most does well,
well
a lot.
Well, you know what else too? Really quickly before you jump into that. At the same time, with how happy you are that the Mets have been winning. Do you know who happens to have the fourth worst record in the major leagues?
Is that the Braves?
No, the Braves. Braves are crushing it. Braves are 12-5.
The worst? Who? Well, the Dodgers.
No, Dodgers are doing well.
Darn.
This is a team that you'll be happy to hear is doing very poorly.
Oh, that must be the Astros.
The Astros are 6-14, 2.5 games below the Oakland A's.
As the trolls say, poverty team. Ooh.
6-14. If
there's
we
not...
were sitting here today and the Mets were 6-14, then we'd have that same Tim energy from that episode. Exactly.
Listen. Let's stop it. But listen, there's not. There's not. You're so bad. There's not a team that, in my opinion, is more cocky than the Astros were for so many years. And I love that wiping smug off of Bregman's face, off of...
See, the one thing that has me slightly nervous is that you got to think eventually they're going to turn it around. They're coming to Wrigley in the next homestand. So hopefully they don't turn it on that week.
It's, you know, ironic. So I went to LA. The only time I've ever been to Dodger Stadium, I found my ticket stub. It was in September of 2002, and it was the Dodgers versus the Astros, and the Dodgers won. And I think I was probably rooting for the Dodgers at that point. I found my hat, the whole
was
thing.
Was the game in LA?
Yeah, it was at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Got myself a Dodger dog. If you ever go to Dodger Stadium at the Ravine, where it is, they have a Dodger dog. I'm sure you've been to Dodger Stadium. You go to Southern California, so you live. You go. You have a place of visits, as they
I
say.
Am also 2-0 at Dodger Stadium in playoff games as a Cub fan.
Yes, love that. Yeah, love
that.
That
was fun.
How far is it? That's a decent drive from Dodger Stadium to Palm Springs, though. I mean, that's not a walk in a park.
I flew in for those games, and we stayed in LA. Yeah.
Yeah, I stay.
We met Theo that weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, Theo Epstein, right? Man, love that. Oh, I'm so jealous of that. Theo Epstein's probably one of the brightest baseball minds that have been in quite some time. Look what he did with the Cubs. He's not with any team now, right?
No, he worked in the commissioner's office, and then he joined the ownership group of the Red Sox. But I don't think he's actually in doing baseball.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so yeah, when I'm in LA, I like staying around Universal, like the Sheraton Universal. We stay in that area. And then we drive, but at the time we rented a car. Nowadays, I haven't been to LA since really Ubers were a thing. So that will be interesting the next time I go there to, you know, to do that. I'm hoping soon I'd like to go to LA, in the near future.
You know, the one thing you should never, ever, ever do is rent a car in LA.
I did that.
Not anymore. Fun. Don't ever do it.
So
again.
Expensive.
It was maybe one of the worst experiences we've ever had.
We didn't have the car.
It was just you take 2 hours to, you have to go on like a shuttle bus to get there. The lines are crazy. It we had a nightmare doing it, and we'll never ever do it again.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
My first trip to LA, I was a young kid, so I was under 25, and you know how it is with cars and under 25, and it was a nightmare trying to get a car. And back then, the only thing you had other than renting a car was like car service or taxi, and taxis are not frequent in LA like they are in New York, so it was really car service. And so Erica was over 25, she's older than me, and she had to be the one to rent a car, and she was pissed at me that she had to drive in LA traffic. It's down to 405 and the 110 and she the 101 or whatever it was, Hollywood.
You didn't just sneak behind the wheel and not tell anybody?
No, I'm a good
you didn't want to chance it,
because my luck, dude, I would get into an accident, and the next thing you know, it's
that's when you just gotta pull an Eastbound and Down pop culture and just have Stevie Janowski take the fall, and you just switch seats and she was driving.
That's
one of my favorite Eastbound and Down.
Yes, I know that reference. See, we bring it back to pop culture. See, folks. So what did we learn from this segment? Do not rent a car in LA. but yeah, I definitely won't again. It's going to be Uber. If I do Uber in most cities now that I go to, it's the best way. Look, in Atlanta, that's what we did, and it was fine.
It's just easy.
Yeah, it's easy. So I'm excited about this coming week. We both have an assignment, Charlie, and we talked briefly, and then we didn't talk about this on air. We're both going to watch season 6 of The Circle on Netflix before next episode, because we're going to recap it. So folks that listen to our podcast, watch our podcast on YouTube, watch The Circle, and follow along with us. And hopefully, I hear, so there's an AI presence in this season. An AI bot
and
that's going to play
the game.
They
filmed in Atlanta again, didn't they?
While we were in Atlanta filming We Are Family, they filmed The Circle. It was the first time they filmed The Circle in the United States. All the other seasons were filmed in England. So that'll be interesting to see how that changes.
I remember one of our drivers told us that it took over the filming of something else. Something left there, then they took the space.
Yes, that's what I remember that conversation too. And they were literally filming it as we were filming Near Family in the early fall in Atlanta. So,
so I'm excited to
see it. Yeah, and someone actually.
And you'll have to watch Survivor as well so we can talk about it. Because this week's tonight's tribal was wild, and we'll definitely touch on that next time.
Yeah, we're sorry about the late episode, folks. Life gets in the way, but here we are. We're still producing. And Charlie, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your time, and always fun chatting with you, bro.
Great. It was great. Another good episode in the books.
This has been a great episode of Around the Bases, the pop culture and sports podcast with myself, Tim Sternberg, and my buddy,
Charlie Seymour.
And until next week, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Take care.